أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على إمامنا وقدوتنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا كريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، والله أكبر، الله أكبر، ولله الحمد. All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the nourisher, the sustainer, and the maker, and the only one worthy of worship, and the one who said, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance, and we seek His guidance subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the adverse consequences of our deeds and from the evils of our souls. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees guidance upon, then none can misguide him. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees misguidance upon, then none can guide him. And peace and salutations be upon the final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who said, من أحب أن يبسط له في رزقه وينسأ له في أجله فليصل رحمه صلى الله عليه وسلم. My dear mothers, fathers, brothers and sisters, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. How many attended yesterday's program? Put up your hands high up. If it's half, then there was half attendance. MashaAllah. Somebody standing. Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feekum for returning today. And for those who are new today, marhaban bikum. We welcome you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and honor you for lending me an attentive ear. And first and foremost, your attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Now, yesterday we discussed parenting goals, as it was titled. And we said we wanted to tweak that particular title to parenting responsibilities. And who can share with us some of the lessons that we discussed yesterday? Just titles. Just titles. No specifics. The specifics, inshallah, are for you to contemplate and revise at home. But just titles. Who's going to step up? Don't wait for somebody else to beat you. والسابقون السابقون. Who's going to put up their hand and participate? Were you here yesterday? No? Your first time here? طيب. We'll ask you tomorrow, inshallah. طيب. نعم. تفضل أخي الكريم. Visions. MashaAllah. That word, MashaAllah, has stuck. I don't know why. Is it because it's similar to television? Or, I don't know. But we weren't talking about televisions. We were talking about visions. And mashallah, yes, definitely. We spoke about visions and we said as parents, you must have this for yourself and for your children, because activity without a vision is just random activity. It's just random activity. Mashallah, tabarakallah. Who else can share with us another responsibility that we shared? It was only yesterday. Yes. Protecting the five entities of our children, mashallah. Share us another lesson. Someone from the back. Somebody want to participate from the back? Yes, go ahead. University of life. But was that a... You got to elaborate on that. What did we say about the university of life in terms of yesterday's lesson? Yes, and how does that tie in with the university of life? They should guide the children. Mashallah. 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 Barakallahu feek. Excellent, excellent. Anybody else? Understanding the nature of your children. Mashallah. This is positive. And now we have reinforcement of knowledge when we revise like this. It's important. Part of the educational process is to reinforce information, and alhamdulillah, this is a series, so why not? We are allowed to revise, and those who are going to watch it on video as well, it will be of benefit to them, bismillah ta'ala. Yes, uncle. Don't say don't do this or else, mashallah. And you said it, uncle, like you experienced. Barakallahu feek, uncle. Barakallahu feek. Yes, so these are some of the lessons we took, walillahi alhamd, yesterday. And with regards to the university of life and teaching our children from experience, this is something taught to us also by the Sharia. And there's a few points I wanted to share with you yesterday, but time ran out. And I said, may Allah bring us together to further our discussion with regards to some of the points I had. But I thought to myself, we rather make this session an answer to that dua we made yesterday. Because rather sooner than later, I don't know when I'll come to Sri Lanka again, to your wonderful city and to meet all you wonderful people. Some of the things I wanted to share or just on that point with regards to teaching our children from experience, this is nurtured within us by the Sharia. Because if we look at the Quran, for example, we see that the Quran or the surah of the Quran are named after, or many of the surah are named after historical events, to teach us the importance of reading about history and learning from people who've who have experienced, they've lived life, right? Learn from their history. In the Quran, we find Suratul Baqarah. This is named after a historical event. Suratul Kahf. It's named after a historical event. And like this, there are many surah in the Quran, right? So this teaches us the importance of the university of life, as our young lad mentioned quite rightly. May Allah bless him. Ameen. There were two things that I wanted to share with you yesterday that I didn't get around to because of time restraints. One of them was this whole concept of production versus the producer of production. And I wanted to share this point under our discussion surrounding the importance of understanding the nature of your child, right? Because when you understand their nature, you can become an effective communicator to them. And being an effective communicator breeds better results, right? And we must bring this to the parental role. I'm not saying it's always the parents' fault, but many a time we point fingers to our children that they don't listen. And sometimes it's not that they don't listen, but it's the manner of our instruction that has affected production, right? So, and this is something discussed by Stephen Covey in his books, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And I might tweak it here or there, or some of the information that I share. And you must read that book. I think it's good. It's a good book for you all to read. And he talks about this producer of production versus production. And he shares the example of a lawnmower. That a lawnmower cuts grass. So the production is the grass being cut, and the producer of production is the lawnmower, right? And if you have two extremes with your lawnmower, then you won't have effective grass cutting. Right? So one extreme he describes is using the lawnmower but not servicing it. If you don't service the lawnmower, what's going to happen? Its efficiency in cutting grass is going to decrease. There'll be a decrease in efficiency. Why? Because the blades will start getting worn out and you're not oiling them and you're not changing them. So there's going to be an effect on efficiency. The production or quality of production is going to be affected when the producer of production is not looked after. Same thing like with a vehicle, with a computer and so on and so forth. It's the same concept. We can, the other extreme is we don't use the lawnmower at all. We leave it brand new. Right? So when that happens, the grass doesn't get cut at all. Right? The ideal is to use the tool but service it so that you maintain the efficiency of production by looking after the ability of the producer of production. We can take this into the home as well. Depending on how we instruct our child to do something, that will determine the quality of them following that instruction. If you tell them clean your room, for example, the efficiency of the room being cleaned depends on the efficiency and quality of the instruction to them to clean their room. If you instruct them in a way where they carry out the task with half a heart, they're doing it for the sake of doing it, it will get done. But how it gets done will be at a certain level. Right? But if you instruct them in a way that makes them want to do it, then the production will be done. And the level of efficiency of production will be higher. Right? So this is important. This is, many of the young audience here are looking at me with strained eyes. But don't worry. You'll hear this talk tomorrow, inshallah, when you're older and have your own children. This is for the parents here today, because they work, they have companies, they know about production and producers of production and so on and so forth. So we're just trying to use the terminology that is palatable to them. Inshallah, as you grow up and better your vocabulary, you'll appreciate these terminologies. But in a nutshell, what we're saying is look after how you speak to people, because the way you speak has an effect in the response. If you're a father, for example, who sits with your child when they have issues and you help analyze the issues and you try and understand them, and you make a proactive effort in understanding them. So for example, you might not understand why they like, for example, playing a certain sport, or they like, for example, watching a certain play. Right? You can't understand it, but as a proactive parent, you made the effort to try to understand. So you went out with them to that play, for example, right? And whilst you were at that play, they were with passion explaining to you certain elements of the play that you never ever thought of. And because now you saw how they passionately explained to you something, you actually understood the wisdoms behind why they like that particular activity or why they play that particular sport. Thus, you became a more in touch parent with your child. So for example, if you did that, tomorrow when you told them to clean their room, this is going to have, or how they receive your instruction is going to be totally different. Do you see where I'm getting at? Does this make sense? Right? Now, we can't paint every parent with the same brush. Of course not. Right? But I can just give you an example on the macro level that you can take and apply at the micro level, specific in your home and specific to your circumstances. But I hope this is clear, inshallah. Right? So this is one of the points. That we understand your children so you can have effective communication with them, because if communicating with them effectively affects the efficiency of their response to you and their following of your instruction and their love for you and respect for you and so on and so forth. This is one thing. The other thing I wanted to share with you all, my dear parents, is, and this is the last thing, is that as part of your, or as part of you being a responsible parent, ensure that you raise characters and not personalities. Ensure that you raise characters and not personalities. Right? Ensure that, what I mean is ensure that you raise people of substance and not shallow people. Right? And this is also discussed by Stephen Covey in The Seven Habits. He talks about how after World War I, the world suffered a fundamental shift. A paradigm shift in how they looked at things. After World War I, A poor person could be dressed like a rich man, and you would look at him and you'd say, that's a rich man. And a rich man could be dressed as a pauper, not a pauper, a pauper, right? Do you know what a pauper is? And do you know what a pawpaw is? A pawpaw is the fruit that you eat. As a pauper, meaning a poor person, a destitute. He's rich, but he dressed like a destitute, and immediately society will look at him and at the first glance say, that's a poor person. So we shallow, we judge people based on shallow anomalies, and we don't want that. We don't want that because Islam always taught us that we are people of substance. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَجْسَابِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look at your appearances and doesn't look at your bodies, but at your hearts and your deeds. You could be praying salah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not judge you based on the appearance of your salah. He will judge you based on the reality of that salah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at us based on substance. And this should nurture us to be people of substance. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Right? Remember that example yesterday where we brought the young man to the stage and we were talking about the semantics of a sentence and how it makes the sentence more eloquent. Remember that? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say that actions are judged by intentions. Rather, he said, there's nothing about your actions except that they will be judged based on the intentions. So intention is the highlight with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is character. Your intention represents your character, not your personality. Personality is what we show people. Character is what we really are as a person, right? And shallow people never succeed. Remember the hypocrites in Medina? Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ. That when you look at them, you become amazed at their appearances, their bodies and dress code and appearances. But in terms of substance, they're zero. They have no belief. They have no belief. And will they get to Jannah based on what, how people perceive them? No. They will get to Jannah based on who they are. So raise characters, my dear parents. Raise characters. Make your children live for Allah and do everything for the sake of Allah. It shouldn't be to appease the masses and please my parents, and please my family. And that is why don't force them in gatherings to get up and read in front of them, even if when they shy, for example. Because that's not good tarbiyah. If they shy to read and you force them, they're only reading for you, or for that gathering. And that's not good tarbiyah. For tomorrow, what will happen? They will, you've planted the seed of it, of reading for people. Rather, they should read only when they read for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they read for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this clear, brothers and sisters? So there's certain things that we can plant in our parenthood that really can or really will be the reason behind our child being a superstar with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the personality superstar of the dunya, right? But I'm talking about superstar with Allah, a substantial superstar, an amazing human being, an asset to mankind. One person who is an entire community, like Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was one person in an entire community of shirk with a king who thought he was Allah, Namrud. But Allah called him an ummah. Inna Ibrahim kana ummah. He was a nation. Imagine that. One man, but he was as good as 100,000 people, 1 million people, 5 million people, or however you define a nation to be. Right? One man was enough. He was a nation, given his tawheed and his Islam and istislam, and his ability to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what or who we should endeavor to raise. So all power to you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire goodness and allow these words to settle in our minds and hearts and grow into something substantial. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen. O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, moving on to today's topic, I want to intro it saying something that we know but must be reminded to. And that is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not sent except as a mercy to mankind. Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that you were not sent except as a mercy to mankind. Except as a mercy to mankind. And if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a mercy to mankind, then this denotes that he indeed taught us everything. Because being merciful, he taught us what we wanted to know, and he taught us what we needed to know. Right? And for our young people in the audience, this is what our parents do. They also teach us what we need to know. Sometimes your friend tells you, hey, you're looking smart. And your father and mother will say, hey, you know, you're looking a bit, I don't know, what do you think? What do they say? Right? Mashallah, everyone's giggling and smiling, right? That's because your friend will tell you what you want to know, but your parents tell you what you need to know. That's why we need to understand also, based on this, that our parents are a mercy upon us. They are a mercy upon us. They love us more than anyone could love us. They love us more than anyone could love us. So if, whenever they tell us something that might seem a bit sour, make it sweet. Make it sweet with your knowledge that they're talking from experience and they love us. They love us. They want to see our progress. They really do want to see our progress. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a mercy to mankind, and this means that he taught us everything. He taught us everything. And this necessitates our belief that there was nothing good except that he taught it to us. And he encouraged us towards it. And there was nothing evil except that he warned us against it. And he discouraged us from it. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, they bore witness to this phenomenon that I'm describing to you right now. For Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, he was once visited by an idolater. And this idolater said, are you saying that your Prophet taught you everything? And Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu said, yes, everything. There was nothing good except that he taught it to us. And there was nothing bad except that he warned us against it. There was no stone left unturned. Even how we relieve, or this person said, even how you, or it was said, even how we relieve ourselves and the adab and etiquettes and mannerisms of it, may Allah honor you all, even this was taught to us. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. And understand how Islam is a way of life. Right? Right? Understand this. And inshallah we'll elaborate on this in tomorrow's talk regarding fitting faith into a busy schedule or busy life. Understand how Islam is an entire way of life. And it is with this that we should understand that even with regards to this topic of maintaining bonds of kinship, the Sharia has indeed taught us magnanimous lessons pertaining to this topic. Somebody might say, but hold on a second, the Sharia has more important fish to fry. And that's an appropriate statement, English statement for Sri Lanka, because mashallah it's a sea, it's a fish country. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? You guys are from Sri Lanka or from where? You don't even know? Should I tell you the answer? Right or wrong? Right. Right. Alhamdulillah. Just making sure the hearts are beating. And we have substantial people sitting in front of us, not personalities. So, somebody might say that the Sharia has, quote unquote, bigger fish to fry. Right? Like worship of Allah and governance and so on and so forth. Are we saying that even how we are with our family members, the Sharia has taught us this? And the answer is yes, it has. And inshallah, this will be made manifest today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Now, maintaining of kinship, it's a mashallah, beautiful title to the brothers who arranged this event. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them. A beautiful title. And it's a translation of the term Silat al-Arham. Al-Arham. Silat al-Arham. And al-Arham is the plural of the Arabic word Rahim. Rahim. Right? Rahim. And this term refers to your relatives that are connected to you through lineage. And Rahim refers to the womb. Refers to the womb. So it refers to those relatives that are connected to you through relatives that are connected to you through lineage. And according to the correct opinion, irrespective of whether they inherit from you or not. Irrespective of whether they inherit from you or not. And there's a range of views with the scholars regarding who are the Sulatul Arham that the Sharia talks about. The relatives that we must maintain these bonds of kinship. The scholars have several views about this, and this is very well discussed in the books of fiqh. In the books of fiqh. And the correct opinion is that it is not specific to those that inherit from us, or those that we inherit from as well. Although we could say that it's inclusive of all relatives, and those that inherit from us and we inherit from, they have, within the sphere of maintaining relations, they have a slightly higher right. A slightly higher right. We could say that. We could say that to join between the views of the scholars and the evidences that they used. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now, some of the scholars said, with regards to relatives, because we said those relatives that are connected to us through lineage. Some of the scholars said that with regards to those who are connected to lineage, then it refers to those who are considered mahrams. This is what they said. And others said, and this is the correct view, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that this concept of maintaining relations refers to your relatives that are connected to you through lineage, that the norm has cited as people that you have to maintain relations with, or you have to look after. The norm. So it's not specific to the mahrams who are related to us. No. Rather, everyone who's related to us, that our society deems it appropriate to maintain relations with them. That society considers it a defect and a taboo and an aib if we do not maintain relationships with them. Is this clear? And this is the preferred view. Why? Because the Sharia commanded us to maintain family relations. But in terms of the specifics, in terms of counting who exactly, the Sharia didn't do that. And the scholars of Usulul Fiqh, they say that when an instruction comes in the Sharia and is left general, then it has to be explained, and if it's not explained via preliminary or via the preliminary methodology as cited by the scholars of Usul, then we have the methodology of using the urf or the custom, right? So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that be with your wives in a way that is known. In a way that is known. So the scholar said, we describe this word using the norm of the society. Right? Live with them in a way that is known. Right? So if the norm of the society, for example, teaches us that from being good to your wives is, for example, cooking them a meal twice a week, for example, then this would fall under the remit of this ayah. Right? The males are smiling. I'm sure that's because nobody's cooking for their wives. But let's say this hypothetically, right? If it did, then we would say that this falls under the remit of this particular ayah, because the explanation of the ayah, Allah has said, explain this ayah based on the norm. And this is true, because the Sharia never came to cancel out our norms. The Sharia came to trim our norms. It came to tweak our norms and make those norms conducive to our lives in this world and the hereafter. So in a nutshell, our relatives that the Sharia has told us to maintain relationships with refers to all relatives who are connected to us through lineage, this is a point, all relatives, circle that. Through lineage, circle that. That our norm has cited as people that we should maintain relations with. Is that clear? The norm, circle that as well. So there's three points that we've highlighted here. I don't see my friend in the green shirt today. He's not highlighting himself in the crowd. There's three points that we want to highlight here. Number one, all. Number two, relatives. Number three, that the society has cited as those that we must maintain relations with. Is that clear? Is that clear? Is that clear? In pure English. Is that clear? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. If it's not, say it's not, and we'll repeat, because my job is to teach. Right? And I have to do my job. If it's not clear, I will repeat. It's your right that I repeat. Who didn't understand what I just said? Because it's important that we go home with substantial information, not shallow information. Where we attended a talk and this is what he spoke about, but I still remain the same because I didn't understand the impact of the talk. Who didn't understand? Raise your hands. For the sake of Allah, don't be shy. Don't think somebody will say, I'm slow. No, you're slow if you don't raise your hands. Tayyip. What didn't you understand? Which particular point do you want me to elaborate on? On everything? Or the definition? The definition, okay. So we define family or the kinship that we need to maintain, or the bonds of that kinship that we need to maintain, refer to our relatives that are connected to us through lineage, that the norm has cited as people that we should look after, right? The norm has cited as people we should look after, or that cited that our relationship with them should be looked after. Is that clear? So, based on this, do our in-laws fit into this definition? Do our in-laws fit into this definition? Or do the relatives of our wives fit into this definition? Is it from silatul arham to maintain the relationship with our wives' relatives? And for the wife to maintain a relationship with their husband's relatives? Is this from silatul arham? Who says yes? Raise your hands. Not half. Remember, half means I don't know. Hi. Who says no? And what about the rest? Undecided. No vote. Tayyib. Let's discuss this. We might go longer on our talk today, but I really, this point we want to drive home because it's important. Barakallahu feekum. Uncle Azad, do I have your permission to stretch it a bit? I want to explain this point, okay? Let's look at the definition. We said the relative, Sulatul Arham refers to maintaining relations with our relatives who are connected to us through lineage. Lineage means there's a blood bond. There's a blood bond here. Right? There's a blood bond. And the norm said we should look after that particular relationship. So, is there a blood bond between our wives, relatives and us? Yes or no? No. So, do they fall under the remit of Silatul Arham? No. Is, or does our husband's relatives, or do we, con- is, or, let me phrase it properly. Our husband's relatives, are they considered to be blood to the wives? No. So do they fall under the remit of Silatul Arham? No. Is that clear? But what about our in-laws? Father-in-law, mother-in-law? This is the discussion. I'm sure everyone is cringing their fingers. This is what we want to know. Our in-laws, do they fall under the remit of Silatul Arham? Yes or no? Who says no? Yalla, who says no? A lot of you answered. Now your hands are down. Everyone is facing me. No one will see you. I will only see you. Raise your hands up. Who says no? It might be the correct answer. Raise your hands. When I said that, some hands went down into their pockets. Based on the definition, they do not fit. Based on this definition, they do not fit. Is there a blood relationship between a person and their father-in-law? Or a person and their mother-in-law? No. No. So look at the definition. The definition makes life easy for us. The definition makes life easy for us. And we said this definition has three components. Number one, they are our relatives. How? Through lineage, which means there's a blood relationship here. There's a blood relationship here. And what's the extent of the relatives that are connected to us through blood that we should look after? Those that the norm has told us to look after them. So we don't say we look at whether they inherit from us or not. We don't say whether they are our mahrams or not. No, we say as long as the norm has cited them as a blood relative that we should look after, the Sharia will hold you accountable with regards to maintaining bonds of kinship with them. Clear? Clear. Okay. Now, some of the scholars, they say that in-laws fall within the remit of maintaining family relations with, or they fall under the remit of the instructions of the Sharia that relate to maintaining family relations. Why? They say because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that from the signs of Allah is that He has created you from one, or He has created you as spouses. Right? He has created you as spouses to one another. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you can take peace from one another, and the husband can take contentment from his wife, more specifically. And that Allah has placed between you mawadda and rahmah, love and mercy. So they say this love and mercy brought the in-laws into the equation. This is what some of the scholars say. But based on our definition, this does not fit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Based on our definition, this does not fit. However, this does not mean that we need to treat our in-laws as outlaws. This is not a ticket to treat your in-laws as outlaws, because the Sharia has also discussed maintaining relations with our in-laws, right? The Sharia has discussed this. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayah that I just told you, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that be with your wives in a manner that is considered praiseworthy, that the norm considers praiseworthy. Does our norm not consider maintaining relations with our in-laws praiseworthy? Right? So maintaining relationship with your in-laws falls under the remit of this other ayah, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. You see, there's more than one way to skin a cat, as they say. Right? So the Sharia has dealt with everything. But the Sharia is so perfect, it's placed everything in its section. Everything in its place. It's differentiated between the blood relative and a relationship that you have which is not based on blood. Everything, the Sharia is amazing in terms of prioritization. Prioritization. So the sin for not maintaining bonds of kinship is set. And the sin for not maintaining your relationship with your in-laws is also set. There's a sin here and there's a sin there. So understand this. So the sin for a person who doesn't maintain relationships with the in-laws, they won't get the sin of leaving silatul arham, leaving this concept of maintaining bonds of kinship. But they'll get the sin of not living with their wives in a way that is considered praiseworthy, as constituted by the norm. Is that understood? Tayyib. So this is important. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the perfect example. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to look after the friends of Khadija radiallahu anha after she passed away. Ponder. Take a moment and digest this. Digest this. He would look after friends of Khadija radiallahu anha whilst after she passed away. So if this was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then what must be the sunnah with the mother of your wife who is alive? If after the friends, not mother, friends of his spouse who's deceased, radiallahu anha, and he sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then what do you think was his way with the mother of his spouse who was alive? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, right? So understand this, because and this is found in the Sunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if there was a slaughter that took place, he would take some meat and instruct for this meat to be delivered to the friends of Khadija radiallahu anha. This was how he honored her radiallahu anha even after she passed away. So what must be the situation for the living mother of your living wife? Allahu Akbar. Right? So don't run away from your responsibilities. And also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as is established in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu an, and this hadith is authentic and in the sahih, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Khayrukum khayrukum li ahlihi wa ana khayrukum li ahlihi. That the best of you is the one who is best to his wife, and I am the best of you all to my wives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those that follow the sunnah. Really, follow the sunnah. Today, unfortunately, we leave something because it's sunnah. Whilst the sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they practiced things because it was sunnah. Allahu Akbar. Not so today, we say, brother, it's sunnah, it's okay. The sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they practiced things because it was sunnah. This is why they were people of honor and izzah. And write this in gold. Yesterday I asked you to bring your gold pens. Write this in gold and make it your Facebook status updates. MashaAllah, somebody is already updating his social network, huh? His Twitter or whatever it is. It's important. Write it and stick it on your fridge for those who are at home, and on your office desk, for those who are at work. That the Sahaba practiced an act because it was Sunnah. Today we leave it because it is Sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our mistakes and make us true followers, substantial followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. 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 Now, before we move on to Silatul Arham and just discussing in-laws and outlaws, inshallah our in-laws must always be in-laws, right? Never, they should never be outlaws. To teach us that we should not cut relations with them, we have another hadith, which is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Sahih al-Bukhari, where he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is not permissible for a Muslim to forsake his brother for more than 3 days, his brother in Islam and his sister in Islam, for more than 3 days, each of them turning away from the other when they meet. The better of them is the first to greet the other with the salam. With the salam. So, alhamdulillah, I think we've covered that, and it was important that I did so. So nobody went home with confusion regarding their in-laws. Regarding their in-laws. In fact, today, subhanAllah, the wars between families and in-laws is so strife that the term in-laws today has negative consequences. Really. Really. It's become so negative, there's such a negative stigma that is attached to the term in-laws because of the many marriages that are in disarray because of the spouses not looking after their in-laws. And wallahi, it should be common sense in our lives, this whole concept of respecting our in-laws. Because if we want our wife to love us, and our wife wants our husband to love us, then we really should be taking the means of that which brings about love. And our husbands love their parents, and our wives love their parents. So isn't it from increasing the love that your wife has, or isn't looking after her parents from increasing the love that you want, that you would like from her? Yes, it is, and vice versa, and vice versa. And just remember that, you know, relationships and human beings, we interact with each other on an emotional level. Our interactions with each other are not based on some book that was written by somebody, somewhere. Women are from Mars and men are from Venus. And so on and so forth. And although it does have good lessons, that practical lessons we can take, but in the real world, it's not textbook management, right? And in the same breath, our relationships are not like a bank account, where one deposits, then the other deposits. And one withdraws, then the other withdraws, and so on and so forth. It's not like that. It's based on emotion. So we need to be emotionally intelligent, if those two words can fit together. Tayyib. So, alhamdulillah, we've defined what maintaining or what Silatul Arham means. Or we've defined what kinship refers to. Again, it refers to our relatives who are connected to us through lineage. Meaning, there's a blood connection And in terms of the extent of those relatives, then it's all of them that society considers important. All of them that that society considers it important to maintain relationships, or all of those people that society considers it important to maintain relationships with them. طيب. Now, what does maintaining mean? When we say maintaining relation, maintaining bonds of kinship, what does this term maintaining mean? Has the Sharia explained to us what maintaining means? Well, we have a lovely definition by Imam al-Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayh. And he says that silah, or maintaining, refers to sharing with all those relatives that we just defined, all the goodness, Allahu Akbar, all the goodness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you. All the goodness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you, from your beneficial knowledge, from your da'wah, from your halal sustenance, from your good character, from your assistance during times of need and ease, if the abilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, from your dua, from your praise and acknowledgement, from your constructive criticism. All this is good abilities that Allah has given you. If you have these, then it is from maintaining family relations that you practice these qualities with them. Is that clear? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Many of us think it's just visiting them, it's just phoning them, it's just attending the invite. No, it's more than that. It refers to sharing with all of them, within your capacity, of course. We're not saying now empty your bank balances to your relatives, and I'm sure nobody even thought about that. But what we're saying, in your capacity, share your goodness with them. And this is from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, let me remind you, what do we mean when we say the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We mean that when you share the goodness that Allah has given you with all those relatives that the Sharia has told you to be good with, you are building your Jannah in the process. Your palaces are being built, your streams are being dug, your forests are being planted. This is what it means. You're building your Jannah in doing so. Don't take it as a trivial task and activity. No, it's not. By doing it with this understanding, this simple worldly task has become an ibadah. We've taken it from being an adah, a norm, and we've brought it into the realm of ibadah, a worship. And this is how we fit faith into a busy life, subhanAllah. We're already having tomorrow's discussion today. Alhamdulillah. So, this is what it is, that you understand that me getting in, from the time I get into my car to visit my relative, or to do something that constitutes maintaining this relation, Allah is rewarding me. My scales of good deeds is becoming heavier, or automatically, Allahu Akbar. Thus, we should rename it from maintaining bonds of kinship to what? To a Jannah building exercise. Isn't it worthy of being renamed or carrying this title? We name it what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to it as. But now when we call it a Jannah building exercise, who's going to think twice? Are you with me? Yes. Tayyib. Maintaining bonds of kinship, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, also includes protecting all those relatives that we defined from all of your harm. Not some of your harm, all of your harm, from your backbiting and slander and jealousy and the evil eye and bad character and so on and so on and so forth. Is that clear? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, with regards to what our Sharia has taught us about silatul arham and maintaining bonds of kinship, then these are many. These lessons are many and established in the authentic sunnah. And they're too many to mention in our gathering today. But what I would like for us to do, as we believe it is part of our Sharia and part of Islam's instruction upon us, I want us at this particular juncture to ask ourselves a very important question. How are we with regards to our maintenance of those bonds of kinship in light of everything we've discussed today? how are we? Don't answer me, but answer yourself. Answer yourself. I want you to have an acute understanding about your relatives and how good you are to them or how bad you are to them, and benchmark it against everything that we've said before we move on. Okay? Because, my dear brothers and sisters, if we analyze families today, we see that these families fit in one of three categories. With regards to this topic of maintaining bonds of kinship, they fit within one of three categories of people or families. We have the first family, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from this family. And they are the family that lives without maintaining bonds of kinship. It is of no interest to them. They live a selfish life, and they disregard the instruction of the Sharia. And this is a family and group of people that we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day to protect us from. Yes. Because, brothers and sisters, this is a group of people that have forgotten that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسِ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. They are a people who have forgotten that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that do they not think that they will die and be resurrected on a great and grave day, the day when all of mankind will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This family, my dear brothers and sisters, are a people who have forgotten that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said this. And we say to them, you have indeed also forgotten that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, as I mentioned in the ayah when we opened our talk together, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. And we hear this ayah every Jumu'ah. Every Jumu'ah. This is from the sunan of the Jumu'ah khutbah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and do not cut the relations of kinship, of the womb, of lineage. They forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to be God conscious of Allah and to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to our relatives. That if you want to attain taqwa in your life, then from the means of attaining taqwa is to do what? To maintain family relations. Subhanahu rabbi al-a'la. This is a group of people that have forgotten that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said this. And they have forgotten that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَآتِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ, and give to your relatives, your kindred, they due. Give them they haqq, and give them they due. And this is a group, O servants of Allah, and O children of Adam, who have forgotten that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
والذين ينقضون عهد الله من بعد ميثاقه ويقطعون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل ويفسدون في الأرض أولئك لهم اللعنة وَلَهُمْ سُوءُ الدَّارِ.
They forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but those who break the covenant of Allah, after contracting it, they entered into a deal with Allah. That Allah says that after they break that deal and sever that which Allah has ordered to be joined and spread corruption on earth, for them is the curse. And they will have the worst home, meaning the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ameen. Ameen. These families and these people, my dear brothers and sisters, are those who forget that these bonds of kinship, they actually sought protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from ever being broken. Do you know this? Do you know that these bonds of kinship actually asked Allah to protect them from being broken? And this is established in the Sahih. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the universe. And when He had finished, kinship stood up and said, "This is the standing up of one who seeks your protection from being broken and cut off." Allahu Akbar. Kinship stood up and said, "Ya Allah, this is the standing of the one who seeks your protection." Kinship sought refuge in the creator of everything in creation. From what? From being broken. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Yes. Would it please you if I were to take care of those who take care of you?" Allahu Akbar. "And would it please you if I were to cut off those who cut you off?" Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. Allah is saying to kinship, "Will it please you if I cut off those who dissolve maintaining these relations with you?" It said, "Of course, Ya Allah. It would be pleasing to me." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Then your prayer is granted." La ilaha illallah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he taught the Sahaba this hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Recite if you wish. Recite if you wish."
فَهَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ أَن تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ.
Allah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Recite if you wish," the ayah in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Would you then, if you were given the authority, do mischief in the land and cut your ties of kinship?" Look at the importance the Sharia has given to this, brothers and sisters. May Allah forgive us and protect us. And this is the first group. And we ask Allah's protection from being placed in this group of people. Ameen. Say Ameen. Ameen. Then we have the second group, brothers and sisters. And this second group consists of families that have a petty policy when it comes to maintaining family relations. They're not like the first group where they cut it in totality. They have a system of maintaining it, but they base this concept of maintaining their relationship with their family members based on pettiness. Based on the policy of, if they visit me, then I'll visit them. So people are smiling. People are trying not to laugh, but it's coming out. Based on the policy of, if they spend on me, I will spend on them. Based on the policy of, I will see how much they gave my child on Eid, and then I will give as well. Based on the policy of, when I came from Hajj, they didn't visit me, so I won't visit them. Based on the policy of, their daughter's getting married. Is that so? He didn't invite me. Wait, I'm going to fix him. I have 3 daughters. He'll see. He'll live to regret this decision. Based on pettiness, we maintain relations, but not based on the system that the Sharia has cited. Based on whims and fancies, and based on the way of shaytan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Allahul Musta'an, really. Allahul Musta'an. And this sadly is rampant in society. People who live to reciprocate. That's it. We only maintain wins. And this group is a group that has forgotten that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who maintains a relationship with his relatives only because they maintain a relationship with him is not truly upholding the bonds of kinship. See, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never left any stone unturned. There was nothing good except that he taught it to us and encouraged us towards it. And there was nothing evil except that he taught it to us and warned us against it. So they forget that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I will repeat, that the one who maintains a relationship with his relatives only because they maintain a relationship with him is not truly upholding those ties of kinship. Rather, the one who truly upholds those ties is the one who does so even if they break off relationships with him. Even when they break relationships. You see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that when they didn't invite you to their daughter's walima, and you have three daughters, say, I will invite him to all three. When he didn't visit you, when you came back from Hajj, you still go visit him when he comes back from Hajj. If they didn't respond to your salam, continue offering the salam to them. If they didn't give your children money on the day of Eid, continue giving their children money on the day of Eid. And so on and so forth. Do you see this, brothers and sisters? Do you see this? This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. This is what it is. If I'm traveling and I have some weight in my bag and they say, you know, you're going there, can you just take a parcel for me? I have weight, but no. Whenever did they take a parcel for me? Every time I ask them, they say, you know, I'm overweight. See, everyone is giggling here. This is what it is. I'm telling you facts that are rampant in society. I'm telling you facts that are rampant in society. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Right? So this is a group that has forgotten this instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the true meaning of maintaining the relationship is actually building the bridge when the person on the other side is breaking the bridge down. Allahu Akbar. This is what it is. And this is true because we just said that maintaining family relations is what? Is part of building Jannah. And Jannah is expensive, my dear brothers and sisters. It's expensive. Didn't Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, أَلَا إِنَّ سِلَعَةَ اللَّهِ غَالِيَةً, that the merchandise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expensive. So if you want Jannah, you have to work. You can't have it on the plate. You have to work. So if maintaining bonds of kinship is a Jannah building exercise, then it means that it needs you to build that bridge when the person on the other side is breaking it down. And this was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't have to mention many examples. We have famous examples like Ta'if. Like Ta'if. They stoned him. And they filled his blessed shoes with his blessed blood, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he went to them with that which was the gift of their dunya and akhirah. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offered to crush them with two mountains, what did he do? What did he do? And this is beyond maintaining bonds of kinship, brothers and sisters. We're beyond that. This is a whole tribe, a distant tribe here. Right? Or meaning, we're saying that there wasn't necessarily blood between him and those who stoned him. Right? Where he had a high obligation of maintaining. This was a haqq which Allah gave him. But what did he say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he say? No. Rather, he made dua for them. That perhaps from their progeny will come those who understand. If you destroy them, that progeny won't have a chance. Allahu Akbar. When he took over Makkah, brothers and sisters, and his blood kicked him out of Makkah. Now we bring an example which really fits the story at hand or the topic at hand. They kicked him out. They gave him difficulty. They put a ransom on his head. They harmed the believers. They caused the Muslims to dig a trench around Medina. Difficulty after difficulty. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now had Makkah under his control, what did he do? Did he break bridges or build bridges? What did he do? Then, in an exercise, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Really, this was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we need to follow in his footsteps. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen. Then we have the third group. And this is the ideal group. And this is the group we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from. And make our families from. And this is the group, O servants of Allah, and O children of Adam, that has families that are proactive when it comes to maintaining bonds of kinship. When there's a family event, they do not wait to be asked. Somebody in the family is getting married, they're not waiting for a call. I need help. They're there saying, how can we help? They are proactive. They live the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with regards to this title. They build bridges and don't worry about what's happening from the other side. They live with other people based on the Islamic character and not based on their character. Subhanallah. They don't say, well, they are with me like this, so I will be like that with them. No. They never let other people define their character. They let Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam define their character. And they made the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam their values. And thus they were defined as what their values showed them to be. And this is it. If we lose our values, brothers and sisters, what do we have? What do we have? When a Muslim says, I will not do this because they didn't do that, what value is that? That is defining you. Do you think anyone would define you with that attitude to be from amongst those that follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do you think so? Do you think anyone will consider you to be a reviver of the sunnah, put you within that family? When you have a tit-for-tat attitude? Never. Never. So these are people who live the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you ask them, what is your character? They say, the character of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what defines me. I wake up every day thinking, how am I to that benchmark? Not how am I to Muhammad and Yusuf and the level of their character. May Allah grant us the understanding. They are those who do not look at the bank balance and see what the other person deposited before they go forward. Remember we said, relationships are based on emotions. Based on emotions. So they are active and they are proactive. And they understand the importance of maintaining bonds of kinship. Thus, they make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist them in this obligation of maintaining bonds of kinship. And we've heard the ahadith. These ahadith don't give us the understanding that this is, it's a sunnah. For those who want to differ between the sunnah and the wajib. Yes, there's a difference. But in terms of responsibility, they share equal responsibility. We must look after the sunnah. It's from the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Right? So it's important. So they don't worry about whether the other party reciprocates. And they make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah to make them diligent with regards to this obligation, because they've looked at the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they've looked at the Quran and they have seen that this is wajib. Maintaining bonds of kinship is wajib. My jannah depends on it. And if I'm not diligent, I could be plunged into the depth of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah protect us, brothers and sisters. So I hope in this talk, in this series, and what I've shared with you, a light bulb has gone up, has switched on in our head. Has switched on in our head. Inshallah. Inshallah. Because remember we said we need to be people of substance. Let's not show one thing whilst we're something else. Right? The Sharia never praised a hypocrite. The Sharia never praised a hypocrite. Be from amongst those that fit into this third group. Those who remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ Worship Allah. وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا And do not associate partners with Him. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا And be good to your parents. وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى And maintain the bonds of kinship. Imagine, Allah has tied it to Tawheed. Tawheed, the essence behind which, upon which everything in existence stands. The oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, worship one Allah. And do not associate partners with Him. And be dutiful to your parents. And maintain the bonds of kinship. Be those people who remember these ayat, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen. I want to share with you a story before I end. A true story. And I've discussed the story in another talk of mine titled Forgiveness. And it was appropriate to be used in that particular talk because it does epitomize the importance of forgiving others. But this story, given the characters in the story, also teaches us and inshallah will inspire us to be better people when it comes to our relatives. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah tested Medina with a great test. And this was with regards to Aisha radiallahu anha. For once, when the Muslims were coming back from a journey, she left the caravan. And they thought she was inside her hawdaj, her canopy. And they carried on. And when she got back to that place, she saw them. She saw that the caravan had left. And she was stranded. So she thought to herself, let me stay where I am. They will realize what's happened and they will come back for me. And it was the norm of the caravans then that they would have a person ride behind the caravan. One person. Just in case anything fell off the caravan, this person would pick it up and take it to Medina. Right? And in cricket countries, when I do this talk in cricket countries, I like to say that we would call this person a sweeper. A sweeper. Because you know, in cricket, at the boundary, what do we put? We put a sweeper there, isn't it? Yeah, we also know about cricket. And I'm sure you all know Zimbabwe only because of the cricket. Many people say if it wasn't for cricket, we wouldn't even know of this country. So, the sweeper on that day was a Sahabi by the name of Safwan. And as he came towards Medina or on his route, he saw something in his path and he knew that this is something that I need to check. It must be something from our caravan. And as he got closer, he recognized that it was Aisha radiallahu anha. And he says, I recognized her from before hijab became compulsory. Right? And the scholars use this hadith to say that this is evidence that it's wajib to cover the face during hijab. Right? But that's as a footnote for you all. Because he says, I recognized her from before hijab. Right? Which means she was covered, but there's features, right? When you know someone before they cover, there's features that allow you to pick up who they are. Right? So he brought her to Medina, radiallahu anha. When he came to Medina, the hypocrites decided to use this as a means of disuniting the ummah. So they started spreading rumors about her and Safwan, radiallahu anhu. Rumors that our mother, radiallahu anha, it was far beyond her. It was far beyond her. But they spread these rumors. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His divine wisdom, made these rumors manifest and become rampant and abundant in Medina to such an extent that it shook Medina. To such an extent that it shook the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he even stopped going to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. Because they were waiting for revelation. Allah made this last for a month or longer. This was His wisdom. And thereafter Allah revealed ayat that will be recited till the day of Qiyamah, purifying Aisha radiallahu anha. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. That don't consider what happened and the delay in you being exonerated something evil. Nay, it was good for you. Allah has divine wisdom behind His tests. Now, when these rumors became rampant, some of the Sahaba fell prey to these rumors. And one of them was a relative of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to maintain bonds of kinship with. And this person was from the early Muslims. He migrated from Medina from Mecca to Medina. And he was poor. So Abu Bakr, remember we said maintaining bonds of kinship is sharing with all your relatives the good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you. So he was poor. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to maintain bonds of kinship with Misbah, his relative who was poor, and he used to spend on him. But Misbah was one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum who fell prey to the rumors and sort of concurred to what the hypocrites were saying. And this upset Abu Bakr greatly. Right? And I would discuss the story slightly differently or emphasize certain points on it if I was discussing it from the topic of forgiveness. And inshallah, you can go online and the topic is there. It's called forgiveness. And it's online. It was done in Qatar with an organization known as Fana. And listen to it. Inshallah, it will be of benefit. So when Mistah did this, Abu Bakr became upset. So he took a qasam by Allah, never ever to spend on Mistah again. So that was a cut in terms of maintaining family relations. But didn't Abu Bakr have a right to be upset? Given that you my relative, I spend on you. If there was any side you should have taken, it should have been our family's side. Did he not have a right to be upset and do what he did? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat that will be also recited to the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. الله أكبر. الله سبحانه وتعالى revealed and said, it wasn't for a man of honor and financial standing and material well-being. Meaning who? Abu Bakr. A man who was given glad tidings of Jannah before he passed away. Imagine our situation. Allah tells him, it wasn't a man of honor and financial standing and material well-being to take a qasam never to spend on the poor, and never to spend on their relatives, and never to spend on those who migrated from Makkah to Medina. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him and said, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوهُ, instead pardon him and forgive him. Did he not have a right to be upset? Allah is commanding him to pardon him and forgive him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you not love for Allah to forgive you? Subhanallah. Do you not love for Allah to forgive you? وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving, the most merciful. Look at these ayat, O servants of Allah. Look at these ayat. When it comes to maintaining bonds of kinship. If you ask me, until when must I maintain? How much must I tolerate? How much must I tolerate? I try and I try. I try and I try. And there's no reciprocation. How much must I do? For how long must I carry on? The answer to that question is, do it for as many times as you would love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. That is the answer to your question, O servant of Allah and O children of Adam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. I end with a hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَحَبَّ أَن يُبْسَطَ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ وَيُنْسَأَ لَهُ فِي أَجَلِهِ فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَهِ. That the one who wants barakah in his money, in his wealth, and he wants barakah in his life and his time, then let him maintain family relations. Subhanallah. We normally say in the corporate world that reward is proportionate to effort. Reward is proportionate to effort, right? And in Islam we say we understand the significance of the effort based on the reward that has been placed on that effort. You've all heard today the rewards that has been placed on the effort of maintaining bonds of kinship. Thus understand, O servants of Allah, if Allah has set such an amazing reward for doing this endeavor, for practicing this endeavor, then the endeavor itself must be holy, must be sacred, must be important. This is the message I leave you all with, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, my dear mothers and fathers. And we need to be people of action, not people of theory. Not people of theory. I'm not going to ask you to do this now, but I am going to ask you to do this as soon as you get into your vehicles, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the sake of Allah, squash your ego, squash your nafs and what it's telling you or what it's pushing you against. Squash your egos for the sake of Allah. Pick up your phone and phone a family member that you have severed ties with, and phone a family member that you've been neglecting, and greet them with the greeting of Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and tell them that you love them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and tell them that you're phoning to check if they're okay and you need to meet up sooner rather than later, and inshallah there will be a follow up call where you can plan that arrangement. Can we do that? Can we do that? Inshallah yes or inshallah no? Inshallah, which inshallah? Allah is a witness to this deal that we've just made between us. Allah is a witness to this deal that we've just made between us. Right? Right? I haven't flown thousands of kilometers for theory, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam. I've come here for that which is practical. And you will I want you to do it for the sake of Allah. For the sake of Allah. And if done, it will be a great means of happiness to my own heart. And what I endeavor to achieve in terms of following my own vision. And I shared this with you yesterday. That I get up every morning with the ambition of igniting societies that benefit humanity. And this topic is up there with the topics that we said yesterday. Are topics that ignite our communities. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a witness to what we have discussed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a witness to this deal that we've made. As soon as you get into your vehicles, as soon as you get a private moment, if you're in your vehicle with people who you don't want to speak, you don't want to speak in their presence, then as soon as you get home. As soon as you get home. In fact, don't even wait till you get home. Park the car somewhere private in a safe area and get out of your car and make this call, because we never know when the angel of death is counting the seconds next to us. By Allah, we never know. Don't leave it till it's too late. You saw that the bonds of kinship asked Allah to protect it. And Allah answered the dua that the bonds of kinship made. This requires no delay, no delay, O servants of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our mistakes. May Allah forgive us for our lack of diligence. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our pettiness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire us to be the best followers of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those who follow in the footsteps of the sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those who live for his sake and act for his sake and never ever worry about what people will say about us. They will say we're weak if we keep on asking for forgiveness or if we keep on forgiving others. It doesn't matter. May Allah make us understand that weakness is in leaving the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irrespective of how well society grades that. And true strength is in following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if society treats us as strange people when we follow that sunnah. May Allah grant us this understanding. May Allah not cause us to die before we have maintained the bonds of kinship. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us with all our relatives in Jannatul Firdaus. In Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. Ameen. Brothers and sisters, Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, Inna Allah khfathnatayni fithnatayn. Inna Allah khfathnatayni fithnatayn. Allah has hidden two things in two things. Allah has hidden two things in two things. He has hidden the knowledge of His happiness and acceptance of our worship after we worship Him. It's hidden. It's hidden. We do something good, we shouldn't become proud. We should become more humble. Because we don't, Allah has hidden that knowledge of whether He has accepted this ibadah from us. Thus we should become more humble and ask Allah to accept from us and ask Allah to forgive us. And Allah has hidden the knowledge of His awliya from amongst us. He has hidden the knowledge of His awliya from amongst us. Wallahi, when I heard this statement, it caused me to ponder and think. And I love to say it in every talk because it deserves to be said. It deserves to be said. Look how Ali radiallahu anh thought of these two things. By Allah, if you ponder over it, you will see the wisdoms behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hiding this knowledge from us. Allah has hidden the knowledge of His happiness after we worship Him, so we can be more diligent in our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can keep on trying harder. We can keep on trying harder. If we knew that our worship is accepted, we would start worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like a budget. Like a budget. We have this many assets and this many liabilities. Allah wants us to keep on striving with regards to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with every moment of our life, with every breath that we breathe. So His divine wisdom dictated that He kept the knowledge of Him being happy over us after we worship Him hidden. So we persevere with the rights of Allah. And then Allah kept the knowledge of His awliya from amongst us hidden. Why? So we persevere with the rights of the ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The huquq al-ibad, and from them is maintaining the bonds of kinship. We persevere. Why, O servants of Allah? Because we don't know who is from the awliya of Allah. And one day we will do some act of goodness for the sake of Allah to a wali from the awliya of Allah. And they will make dua for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that dua the opening of our dunya and akhirah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. We don't know who is from amongst the awliya. Who from our relatives could be from amongst those that when they make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers them. So take heed of this message. My dear brothers and sisters, my dear mothers and fathers, هذا والله أعلم. I love you all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything correct mentioned is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's perfect. And any mistakes are from myself and shaytan. And I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحان الله وبحمده. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت. نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd.
For more lectures, visit SL.